As you have a seat, open your Bibles to the book of Acts in the New Testament. We're going to look at Acts chapter 11, beginning in verse 23 this morning. You're familiar with the phrase, going through the motions. Usually we preface it with the little minimizer, just. Just going through the motions. Keep up the routine without much interest. Doesn't seem too important. You keep doing the same thing outwardly, but it lacks passion because it lacks purpose. Just going through the motions. People do that at home with their families. They do it at work. Students do it in school. And far too often, that's what we do in church. Just going through the motions. It's what some of you are doing this morning. You're here because you always come. You stand up, you sit down, you kind of sing, you open your Bibles, you bow, you leave. No purpose, no passion, just going through the motions. And oftentimes that kind of just going through the motions approach to church comes from the fact that somehow we've lost sight of why we do what we do. Why do we gather? Why do we sing? Why do we study the Bible? Why do we show up? Last week we started looking at the Bible testimony from the church at Antioch. Antioch was the third largest city in the Roman Empire. And a group of Jewish Christians who were scattered because of persecution made their way to Antioch. And when they got there, they began to tell people about Jesus. And for the first time, they began to tell Gentiles about Jesus. And they carried the gospel of Jesus Christ across a barrier that nobody else had crossed. In a local church. And these Gentiles began to come to faith in Christ in large numbers. And this church was born in Antioch, where Jew and Gentile were together in one fellowship. So the church in Jerusalem said, we need to investigate this, see what's going on. Remember, they sent Barnabas up there. Last week we saw him. When Barnabas got there, remember, the Bible says when Barnabas arrived and he saw these people whose lives had been changed by Jesus and who normally would be divided, but they were together in Jesus. When he saw that, remember, the Bible says he was seeing the grace of God. God's manifest character on display. Last week we saw that one of the things we learned from the church at Antioch, that's Antioch, it's confirmed in the rest of the New Testament, is that one of the chief reasons why we do what we do in the church is to display the glory, the grace of God. We want to conduct ourselves in such a way in our gathering, in the body life of this church, that the people in this community see something of God's character. His grace, His faithfulness, His power, His presence. Not only that, remember Ephesians chapter 3? We display the wisdom of God to the rulers and authorities in the heavenlies, Paul says. We're a display of God's grace, His wisdom and power. So when we gather on purpose. And that purpose brings us passion. And one purpose is we gather to display the grace of God. Every week, week by week, we display His glory and His grace. Well, this morning we're going to pick up in exactly the verse where we left off, Acts chapter 11, verse 23. And let the Christians at Antioch continue to teach us about church life, about why we do what we do in the local church. You follow along as I read Acts chapter 11, verse 23 through verse 26. Then when Barnabas arrived and witnessed the grace of God, he rejoiced and began to encourage them all with a resolute heart to remain true to the Lord. Resolute heart means purpose of heart. and it modifies their remaining true. It's not saying that Barnabas had a resolute heart, but he was encouraging them to remain true with purpose of heart, with a resolute heart. For Barnabas was a good man and full of the Holy Spirit and of faith, and considerable numbers were brought to the Lord. And Barnabas left for Tarsus, not far away, to look for Saul. And when he had found him, he brought him to Antioch. Saul would become the Apostle Paul. And for an entire year, they met. That's the word synago. It's the word synagogue. They were gathered together. They met with the church and taught considerable numbers. And the disciples were first called Christians in Antioch. Why do we do what we do? The Bible teaches us that we gather to strengthen each other in Christ. We gather to give strength to our brothers and sisters. Now be honest. Let me ask you. When you woke up this morning, when you were getting ready, when you pulled into the parking lot and got out of your car, were you thinking, I wonder who I can strengthen this morning? Is that why you gathered? Were you coming here thinking about specific men or women, boys or girls, or were you coming here with your eyes open, realizing, who can I strengthen this morning? Or were you just going through the motions? You know, some people slip into a mindset that church is like a spiritual Walmart. And you go there to get what you think you need. And if that's your mindset, then you'll have the same attitude toward the people here that you have toward the people at Walmart. They're just in your way. Why is this parking lot so crowded? Right? These people are keeping me from getting what I need. Others have a kind of a mindset that maybe is just a little bit better, that church is like a spiritual fitness center. And I go there for my own personal spiritual development and growth. I want to be spiritually healthy, and this is what I got to do. This is the routine. And I'm going to tolerate the rest of the people around here because of my needs. Listen, if you come to the gathering of the people of God week by week with a mindset focused on what you want or even what you need, then it's not going to take long for you to be in a wrong mind, where people are in your way or just being tolerated, where you're going through the motions, and even worse, where you fall into a pattern of criticism. But when you show up with purpose in mind, I get to be a part of displaying the glory and grace of God. I'm here to strengthen my brother or sister in Christ. Then it's from that purpose that we draw our passion, that we find meaning in church. Let me show you a New Testament text that supports what the church of Antioch is teaching us. In Acts chapter 10, the Bible says, "Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering." We've said we're following Christ Jesus. He's changed my life, and we're going to be His forever. So hold on to that without wavering. "For He who promised is faithful." And let us consider, let us think about, let us plan for how to stimulate one another. That's the word provoke. How to spark, push, provoke, stimulate one another to love and good deeds. Not forsaking our own assembling together. That's that same word that Luke uses in Acts chapter 11. That synago, that gathering together. But encouraging one another, that word is also used in Acts chapter 11. all the more as you see the day drawing near. This is an important text. I'm not preaching on this Hebrews text, but if I was, you know what I would tell you? Three things. Following Jesus is hard. Isn't that what the text assumed? Hey, a lot of people make a confession of faith. They declare their hope in Christ and they find it challenging to follow through. Because of the sin within them, the sin around them, because of obstacles, because of hardship. Following Jesus is difficult. It's a narrow path. Number two, attendance is an indicator. Part of what the Bible is saying here is, man, if you stop showing up, something's wrong. The longer I live, the more I appreciate the wisdom of the Old Testament proverb that says, he who separates himself seeks his own desires. When somebody pulls back from Christian fellowship, oftentimes, even before they fully know it, something not too good is going on in their hearts. It's only going to get worse. So participation, attendance, is an indicator. And then number three, from this text, we learn that you can help other people stay in the race. You can do that. Through your words, through your presence, through your deeds, you can help others finish what they started. And this is what we learn from the church at Antioch. That we gather to strengthen our brothers and sisters in Christ. This is very important for us to be mindful of. I've been reminded of it even this week, how important it is for us to strengthen each other. And if we look carefully at this text in Acts chapter 11, we can learn some truths about how the church at Antioch actually functioned. How is it that they strengthened each other in Christ? Look carefully again at verse 23. Notice that when Barnabas showed up, he saw their lives had really been changed by the gospel. The Bible says that immediately he rejoiced and he began to encourage them to remain true to the Lord with a resolute heart. Now, let me make sure you understand the vocabulary here. Remain, in my translation, is that real important New Testament word that the old King James translates abide. This is Jesus' discipleship word. When Jesus said, I'm the vine, you are the branches, abide in me. Stay connected to me. Maintain a vital, productive relationship with me. Here, Barnabas sees these people have really been saved. The Holy Spirit's dwelling in them just like he's dwelling in me. These are real Christians with real faith and hope. And he encouraged them to hang in there with Jesus, to stick with Jesus, to remain with purpose of heart in Christ Jesus. And then the text helps us to understand how it is that the church at Antioch set out to accomplish that purpose to strengthen the brethren. Well, very simply, let me just go through them. First, they taught the word. They taught the people. Antioch was a teaching church. And again, we read about the church at Antioch in Acts chapter 11, Acts chapter 13, Acts chapter 15, Acts chapter 18. And they're always gathering together and teaching. They're always gathering together and studying the word. In fact, Acts chapter 15, verse 35 says that Saul taught them the word of the Lord. So this is a teaching church, a learning church. And it's one of the ways, it's a chief way that Barnabas set out to strengthen them. His heart was to strengthen these new believers. And the first thing he thought is, I got to get Saul to come help me teach him. If you opened your front door and found a baby there on your porch, what would you do? If you couldn't call somebody to come get her, what would you do? I bet it wouldn't take long before you began to wonder, is she hungry? You try to feed her. And we see that same instinctive desire in Barnabas as soon as he realized these people are real Christians. They've been transformed by Jesus. What did he want to do? He wanted to teach them. Like feeding a baby, these people need the truth. One of the reasons why some people don't finish what they start, they don't follow through in their commitment to Christ, they have a hard time continuing to walk after Him, is because they are so ignorant of God's truth, it's easy for them to be deceived. And so this church that's concerned about strengthening the brethren, first of all, they teach the Word. But not only did they teach the Word, they also were about showing the way. And if we want to give strength to our brothers and sisters, we want to teach the Word and we want to show the way. How do you follow Jesus? And we see this emphasis also in the text in verse 23 through verse 24. There's an emphasis here on godly character. Verse 24 says, by the way, you need to know Barnabas was a good man. That refers to his moral reputation, his moral integrity. Barnabas was a good man. He was full of the Holy Spirit and of faith. Because he wasn't just instructing those guys, he was giving an example to them. And there's an emphasis in the text on the time they spent together, because they weren't just giving them a worksheet to fill out, but they were showing them the way. The text calls these believers disciples in verse 26. A disciple is more than a student, not just a student in a classroom receiving instruction, information, but a follower, an apprentice, who is not only learning what, but how to. The fact that they were called Christians says they were somehow reflecting the character of Christ. And indeed, if we had time to continue to look at verse 27 through 30, the last part of this chapter, we would see that immediately upon their instruction, learning the way of Christ, these people are filled with generosity and compassion. So they were strengthened by being taught the Word, and they were strengthened because Barnabas and Saul helped to show them the way. And this is our business in the church. But the primary focus of the text is not on the teaching ministry of the church. The first focus is this word, encourage. The first thing the Bible says, when Barnabas realized this is a church, these are Christians, is that he began to encourage them. Encourage. The Bible tells us that we should be encouraging one another as long as it's called today. And the Bible teaches us that when you wake up on Sunday morning and begin to get ready for church, what you need to be thinking about, who needs encouragement? Who can I encourage? And we all need it, don't we? But it's important that you don't only think, I'm going because I need encouragement, but who can I encourage? This word encourage is a word that's a strong word. This is not a soft word. Sometimes it's translated comfort. But comfort, comfort with strength. Comfort's more than sympathy. It means to strengthen. To encourage means to strengthen. To exhort. Parakaleo, to be called to one side. It is in part the picture of an arm around a shoulder, giving sympathy when somebody's hurting, but it is also a hand in the back, spurring on, stimulating to love and good deeds, giving strength. Listen, here's what we know. There are some people who fail to follow hard after Jesus because they're deceived. But for every one person in my experience that I could line up and say this person quit the race because they were deceived, I can line up 10 and say these quit because they grew discouraged. And we gather to combat, to counteract that. The reason we minister to people who are going through divorce or disease or death, who are grieving, who are hurting, is not merely so that they'll feel better. The reason we minister to people in those times of crisis is so that they will stand firm and not quit. Because we're vulnerable when we're hurting. And so, why do we gather? We gather to display God's grace and glory, and we gather to strengthen our brothers and sisters. We must have that mindset every time we gather together as the people of God for worship. Strengthen the brothers. Listen, this is why we spend so much time working on small groups and Sunday schools and getting everybody connected. Why are you here today? Did you come to strengthen your brothers and sisters? I bet most of you who come with that mindset are happy in Christ Jesus and fulfilled in the church. And most often, when we're not happy and fulfilled in the church, it's because we come with the idea, what do I need? What do I want? I read an article that just fascinated me in the magazine called Runner's World. As Julie's magazine. But it had this fascinating story in there about a centipede race. And these are legitimate races. People who enter legitimate races. Most of this is going on in San Francisco, best I could read, in the West Coast. But the specific story was about a 12K race. So this is 7.5 miles. And teams are beginning to enter as 13-member teams and run the race together. Literally, strapped together. Flag football belts and bungee cords between them. And all 13 of them running in unison. It's very interesting to read because this article was about two of the faster teams that were trying to break the world's record for a centipede race. And one of the guys on this team could probably win the race by himself, but he wants to run with the centipede. And it's true that the most, you know, the best, the very best runners are slowed down by the team. But most of them on the team actually run a faster time when they're strapped in than they do them when they're by themselves. In fact, the world record is to run 7.5 miles at under a 5-minute pace, strapped together. One lady said, you got to pay attention because if one person falls, we all lose. That's not a bad mindset to adopt, is it? Why do we do what we do? Particularly, why week after week do we gather as the church? Understanding purpose produces passion. And our purpose is glorious. When we gather, we can display His grace. And when we gather, we can give strength to our brothers and sisters. And if you do that, you'll not just be going through the motions. You'll be the church. Let's bow our heads together for prayer. Father, we confess to you that far too often we fall short of this. We fall short individually, going through the motions, focusing on the wrong things. And Father, we confess that oftentimes we fall short of this collectively, corporately, as your body. Father, I pray that we would build up and encourage one another as long as it's called today. I pray that you'd help us to get every member connected. That we'd honor you as we run together. And Father, I pray even now for those with us and those who are not with us, discouraged, that your Holy Spirit would come alongside the great Comforter. That you'd raise us up as members of your body, called alongside, encouraging our brothers and sisters to remain true to the Lord. Father, I pray that your good hand would be upon us. Let's continue with heads bowed and eyes closed. We're going to sing a song this morning of response. And in a moment as we stand and sing, you'll have opportunity to respond. Every person in this room, unless you're going through the motions, you should be responding to God's Spirit and His Word in this time. Some of you here, God has placed a person on your heart right now. You know a brother or sister who needs encouragement. Would you make a commitment to reach out to that person before this day is done, maybe even in this next hour? This altar is opening up as a place of prayer. You come and kneel and pray for that brother, that sister. Some of you here may want to come and join the fellowship of our church so that you're not running the race alone. You come forward and we'll help you with that commitment. Some here, maybe you've never made a personal commitment to Jesus Christ. You've never turned from sin and trusted in Christ. We'd love to help you to pray and receive Christ as Savior and Lord. And when we stand and sing, if you just come forward here to our ministers, and we can sit down and share together, pray together, and your life can be transformed by Jesus, just like these men and women in Antioch so long ago. God speaks. Now we answer as we stand together and sing.